Please join me in prayer. Father in heaven, we thank you we can call upon you on this Christmas Eve 2012. We thank you for having loved this sinful world so much that you have made the way for us to be rid of our sins, all that we have done wrong, and to be with you in a wonderful situation forever and ever. Help us tonight, Heavenly Father, to better understand what you have done for us in the Christ. And then, for those who know the Christ, strengthen them in that relationship. For those who do not yet know him, may you get their attention and call them to saving faith so that they might have the true forgiveness of their sins and be ready for whenever they die or whenever Jesus returns. Bless us now. We ask it in his name. Amen. Dear friends in Jesus Christ, grace to you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. I'm so glad you're with us tonight. We find ourselves on part 8 of a 9-part sermon series we've been working on here at Bethlehem. And I want to invite you now to begin the sermon to take out a copy of the brochure that you have in your worship folder tonight, or at least you should. I want to give you an idea as to where we have come from and where we are right now, and then we'll focus in on one part of the timeline after we take a brief look at the brochure. God created, we fell into sin. All this stuff is pointing to the Christ. When it comes to what I do, that's bad news. That's sad. That's sin. When it comes to the Christ, he is the Savior. He is the one who has taken away the sin of the world. I want to focus here tonight on these roles, real briefly, of Mary, Joseph, and Jesus. But let me read the account here in Matthew chapter 1. It goes like this. Picking up in verse 18, it says, "Now the birth of Jesus Christ was as follows. When his mother Mary had been betrothed," in other words, engaged to Joseph, "before they came together," in other words, before they were husband and wife, "she was found to be with child, thus she was pregnant by the Holy Spirit. And Joseph, her husband, being a righteous man and not wanting to disgrace her, desired to put her away secretly. But when Joseph had considered this," in other words, had considered the end their engagement privately, "behold, an angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream, saying, 'Joseph, son of David, do not be afraid to take Mary as your wife, for that which has been conceived in her is of the Holy Spirit.'" In other words, the angel was saying, she has not been with another man as you expect, but rather the child in her is from the Almighty God. She is still a virgin. Yes, she is pregnant. God has done this, not another man. And then in verse 21, here's our focus for tonight. It says, "The angel said to Joseph, 'And she will bear a son, and you will call his name Jesus, for it is he who will save his people from their sins.'" Take a look again at it. She, Mary, will bear a son. So that was the role that God gave to Mary. She would be the human instrument by which the Son of God, the Christ of Christmas, the one who would die on the cross, she would be the human instrument through which the Son of God would come into the world and put on human flesh. That was her role. No less, but also no more. We confess these words in the Athanasian Creed when we think about what happened here. We confess, "He is God," talking about the Christ. "He is God, begotten from the substance of the Father before all ages, and he is man, born from the substance of his mother in this age. Perfect God and perfect man, composed of a rational soul and human flesh. Equal to the Father with respect to his divinity, less than the Father with respect to his humanity." So when the Son of God came through Mary and put on human flesh, he didn't stop being God. He continued to be God, but he put on human flesh, and now he is what we call sometimes the infinite God-man. When people looked upon Jesus during his earthly life, he looked like any other person. He didn't look special to anybody, but in fact, he is God in the flesh. And then simply for Joseph, the angel said, "You shall call his name Jesus." What was the role back then? It wasn't for the mother to name the child, but rather it was the job of the father, and he was to give the child the name Jesus. And what does that name mean? It means the Lord saves. I want you to understand with this timeline that it's a horrible thing that people sinned, and that sin spreads to all people, and we can't fix it. There's nothing we can do about it, but God said, "I will send the Christ." Can you imagine waiting 4,000 years? But they waited and they waited and they waited, and there were people like Simeon and Anna and others. They were waiting, they were ready, and they rejoiced when he came. And then finally, in that verse, it says, he, talking about Jesus, will save his people from their sins. How was Jesus going to save us from our sins? You can see it there in your worship folder. He was going to do so by living without committing a single wrong. He was tempted in every way, yet he never sinned. He was also going to do it by receiving all of our wrongs. When he was on the cross, he was the sinless Son of God. Every sin, past, present, and future, they were put upon him, and then he was punished for those sins. Right before he gave up his life, he declared his victory. He said, "It is finished," and then he laid down his life. Verse 22 of Matthew chapter 1 says, "Now all this took place, that what was spoken by the Lord through the prophet Isaiah might be fulfilled, saying, Behold, a virgin," in other words, a woman who has never been with a man, "shall be with child, and she shall bear a son, and they shall call his name Emmanuel," which translated means God with us. Thinking about John chapter 1 there, it says, "In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God." The second person of the Trinity was there with God in the beginning, and in fact, it goes on to say that all things that had been made, they were made through the second person of the Holy Trinity. And then coming to verse 14 of John chapter 1, it tells us that the Word became flesh and dwelt among us. So God promised his Son. 4,000 years later, he comes into the world. He puts on human flesh. That is Christmas. Finally, at the end of this reading, it says, "And Joseph arose from his sleep and did as the angel of the Lord commanded him." In other words, he did not call off the engagement and took her as his wife and kept her a virgin until she gave birth to a son. God did things perfect. We made such a mess that God said, "I need to intervene over and over and over and over again." And God did that because he loved us. And now Christ has taken away the sin of the world. And now heaven is open to all who receive him. And what else is left? The only thing that's left is what it tells us about in 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 2, where it says, "You know full well that the day of the Lord will come just like a thief in the night." God wants us to know that we're living at that time in history where everything pointed ahead to the Christ. His work is done, and now God is saying, receive him as your Savior now and have him and continue in him, because when he comes, it will be too late for any repentance. May God help us to rejoice in the Christ of Christmas, to know beyond all doubt, to know that in him our sins are forgiven, in him we are ready for his coming, in him we are righteous in his sight. In him we are forgiven. We are part of God's holy family. We are brothers and sisters in Christ. We're going to be together forever. That's going to be a super wonderful thing. I'm excited about that. I hope you are too. And I hope that by God's grace and with his powerful blessing in our lives, that all of us will also, as we are gathered here tonight, gather with God in his presence in a most wonderful situation forever and ever. And all God's people said, Amen.